Hey, welcome back to the Azarkan Tours podcast as we focus on the World Junior Hockey Championship coming up in Gothenburg, Sweden. Hey, there's a couple of things that make you recognize that this event is getting close, is that this is the last podcast that we're doing in Canada.
I can't believe it, Bryn, that we're already at this stage where we're ready to leave, and we're going to be in Sweden next week where we do our first podcast in Stockholm.
Yes.
And I'm just so excited. I know a lot of people are excited with the number of emails and texts that we're getting. I can't wait to get over there.
Look at me. I'm vibrating. Don't get too close. This is a second episode we're doing. We focused previously on our last episode looking at Team Canada and the players to watch out for. And so we figured, okay, well, now we better start looking at the other teams and to see who might be the players to watch on those other clubs and who might be a surprising team. So we were chatting on our last episode with Stephen Ellis, who's associate editor and prospect analyst for the Daily Faceoff. You can check him out, by the way. It's at Daily Faceoff. That is his Twitter X handle. Also a co-host of Puck Poolies, it's a podcast. He'll tell us about that in the latter part of his comments with us here today. And also has done some writing with the Hockey News. But man, he knows his World Juniors stuff inside and out. He proved it last episode.
Very impressive.
As we looked at Canada. And today we kick things off as we start to focus ahead on who we should be watching on those other teams.
Yeah, there are other teams in the tournament, not just
yes,
Canada.
Yes, there are.
And some of them are very strong contenders, and some might surprise. And anyway, Stephen's got all the info for us.
Hey, Stephen, thanks for coming back and joining us as we talk about the World Junior Hockey Championship, which is coming up real fast. I can't believe how quick the month of December has gone. We talked about Team Canada on our opening episode, but let's start to take a look at the other teams and who we should be watching for. Paul, do you want to jump in on that one?
Yeah, well, let's start with the host country, Sweden. They're a very deep team. They have a strong defense with a couple of high draft picks, including Axel Sandin Pelikka from Detroit. I don't think they're going to get Leo Carlson from the Ducks. I don't think they're going to be that lucky, but they're always a great team in the first round, but then come the playoffs, they've always start to falter, and that's always been a concern for them, but they're a very deep team, and as the host team with the fans behind them, they're a contender, aren't they?
For sure. I think the Swedes are the team that if you're looking at, USA and Canada as two of the favorites, I think Sweden's got to be up there. So much scoring depth, I think, on this team, more than we usually see. Their defense, you can kind of rely on that to be pretty decent no matter what event it is. The big question mark, though, is the goaltending. And I think that's the interesting one where they got two NHL drafted goalies and in Kevin Riedler and in Melker Thelin, but it's going to probably be Hugo Haviland, who's the starting goalie, and his dad's the coach. 5'10 goalie, not very big, but he's a battler and he plays really well and he played for the Swedes. So I think the one thing this team's going to have is depth at every position. Even though Haviland's probably the favorite, you got two other goalies with pretty good pedigree. You've got a really strong defensive group where you've got a couple of guys who can really take over, like Sandin Pelikka, like Tom Nylander, potentially Elias Pettersson, obviously not the forward.
Yes.
But then you look at the offense, and a lot of these guys have grown up together, played at different levels. And I think that also the good thing is the fact that the U18 team has made it to the final 2 years in a row. And a lot of those guys are making up this roster. So I think that's good. You got the chemistry, but you've also got just good results in other international tournaments, which has been very difficult for Sweden. If you look at their track record internationally, outside of the World Juniors in general, it's not been a good like five years. I think they're the lowest in the WHF rankings that they've been in about 15 years. So they're falling. They're not looking so good, but this team might be something that can really rejuvenate that and make things exciting again.
I have two questions about Team Sweden. First, you mentioned the Haviland family connection. There's a goaltender named Hugo Haviland. There's a family connection here. Do you think it's easy playing for your dad?
No. I can tell you just from playing house league hockey, it was never easy like that, let alone at this level where a goalie, so much of this is mental. And if you get pulled or you lose a starting gig, that could feel personal in a way.
Well, we'll be watching that one carefully. And then the other last thing for me on Team Sweden is there is a huge advantage of playing at home that can quickly turn to a huge disadvantage if things go south in a big hurry. How do you think they're going to handle this? This is going to be a lot of fun. You know, the arena is like 11,000-12,000. They're going to be cheering them on. They're in the pool with Canada and Finland. There's going to be a lot of pressure here on these kids.
For sure. You know, you look at the pressure when Canada hosts it, but Sweden themselves love this tournament. This is important. You know, there's always talk about this being Canada's event, but Sweden, yeah, this is extremely important for them. They know the struggles they've been through in the last 20 years where they look unstoppable and then they just fall completely flat when it matters. This year, and every year we always say they're going to be one of the favorites to win, but I feel probably more confident in this group now than I felt the last couple of years. It just takes everything really kind of working together. You know, Leo Carlson or not, I think this group's pretty good. The fan base knows that. It's got to be fun and terrifying playing in front of your home crowd at an event like this.
Absolutely.
Now let's go to the team that might be favored to win the tournament. That's the United States. And with the U.S., you know, obviously they're Canada's biggest rival now, I think, over the last few years, and I think it's going to continue to be that way. They're strong at almost every position on their roster. And they're a team that, you know, coming into a tournament like this, the biggest concern for me when I look at them is how easy their group might be versus the one that Canada and Sweden are in. They might steamroll all those teams and not face any adversity or any games where they really have to, you know, play smart or play, you know, at their highest level to win. When it gets to that playoff game, are they going to be able to say, okay, now we have to play more responsibly rather than trying to score 15 goals or 10 goals? What's your thoughts on the United States and maybe their strengths?
Well, just some conversations with some guys on the team. I got to go to the camp earlier this week. They know kind of, you know, the fact that they're probably going to be the favorite team to win here, and they know they can't give up. And if any group understands that, it's the U.S., you know, junior program, where for years you expect great things from them. Last year they fell flat and they had to play in the bronze medal game, when a lot of people said, like, oh, they should be one of the best teams in this tournament. Bronze is pretty good, but I think most expect them to challenge closer for gold. This team is going to be another group kind of like Canada, where there's going to be a lot of guys that are hard workers. They've got the skill. They've got the Will Smiths, the Ryan Leonards, the Cutter Gauthiers. They're going to need to be a lot more than that. And I think that the fact that they let off a guy like Cole Iserman, we know how good of a goal scorer he is, one of the top prospects of the 2024 draft, and instead brought some more role-based guys like Gavin Hayes and Quinn Finley, shows that they're not just going to be a team built on just skill. They're going to be trying to be a difficult team to play against. But, you know, the Americans are always expected to win in these junior tournaments because of the U.S. National Development Team program and all the money and all the resources get put into that. So when they don't win, it's a huge disappointment. I think that the fact that they've got a big chunk of that core team from last year that won the U18s and a big chunk of the core that just came short the year before, but were pretty close. This is a group that you just do not want to mess with. This has been my pick to win gold basically since the tournament ended last year, and I kind of sticking with it. Just, it's a group that I think will be able to overcome any of the challenges of just walking over some of the teams.
And who are, in your mind, the top players that we should be looking at on Team USA?
On defense, Lane Hutson, Montreal Canadiens prospect, you can't go wrong there. Just so skilled at a tournament like this, where he probably doesn't have to be extremely defensively responsible, he should be fine. But from talking to some scouts, from talking to his coaches, they believe his defensive game has come a long way in the last year, which is good, because we saw that at, like, let's say the Men's World Championship, where he got really exposed there. In net, I think that's where it's most exciting, where Trey Augustine and Jacob Fowler are having great seasons. Augustine was the starting goalie last year. Fowler, a Canadiens prospect, has just really just shown that he's unstoppable, having a great year in college. I think Augustine will get the advantage as the starting goalie as a returning player, but you can't go wrong with either of them. But the name I think that's most interesting, and I got an article about it coming soon, Sam Hillebrandt. He was playing junior C hockey outside of Barrie, Ontario last year.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
He is on this world junior team.
Wow.
Now, we do know that there's been reports that Andrew Oak, who was the backup goalie the last 2 years, did decline. It's going to hurt if this team wins gold and he said, no, I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
But he did decline, didn't want to be the third goalie. Pretty much no chance the third goalie in this tournament for USA is going to play. But for a guy to be playing in junior C in rinks in front of 200 people last year, to be representing your country the next year, that's amazing.
Let me open that gate for you. Yeah, exactly. Hey, can we talk about Finland too? I don't know a lot about this team, but I know one thing. You can never count Finland out.
Yeah, this is not the strongest Finnish team, but I think this is a team that could really do some damage. And I will, like you mentioned, you can never count the Finns out. Let's not forget that 2019 Men's World Championship where they had zero NHL players and beat Canada in the gold medal game. So that was pretty impressive. But the guy that I'm watching for this team is, we talk about James Haggins being one of the more important players for the Americans. Well, Konsta Hellenius, he's the 2024 draft prospect, might be a top three, might be a top five prospect the way he's playing. He's having one of the best seasons by a U18 player in Finnish Liga history. At the top men's league there, and he's been the most impressive player every time he's represented the U20 team this year. I expect big things from him, and they do have some good depth here. Kasper Holtonen is just, his game is built around violence, whether it's hitting people through the glass or taking the hardest shots I've ever seen in my entire life. This guy just has power. But up front, Lenny Hemenheo, New Jersey Devils prospect, in that summer camp, I got to see him at the World Junior Summer Showcase. Best player in the entire tournament. His skating's not great. Hasn't seemed to hurt him too much internationally. So that's good. This team is missing some key players, though. Aaron Kiviharju is the top defensive prospect on this group. He's hurt. Topi Roni should have been a very key part of this team, but he's actually facing sexual assault charges, so that doesn't help him. This is a team that, while probably not the favorite on paper, we just know will grind you to the death. I think you look at Switzerland, and they always try to play this good, tight defensive hockey.
Yeah.
Finland does it, but much better, and that's why they're so successful at all these tournaments. They got the scoring. You know, again, not as high, not as loaded as Canada, USA, or Sweden, but that might not matter because they just, they're a pain in the butt to play against.
Next, we'll go to two countries that, you know, used to be one, Czechs and Slovaks. And the Slovaks recently have had some huge talents in Nemec and Slefkovský that went very high in the drafts. And the Czechs were finalists last year. And they're two teams that going into the tournament, you kind of know, not really sure where they're going to, you look at them in both their groupings and you're like, okay, might be third, fourth in that group or, but the Czechs and the Slovaks, they're hockey countries. They have good hockey players and they can surprise like last year where the Czechs made it all the way to the final.
Yeah, and I feel good about that one. I projected they'd get to the final too before the tournament.
You? Excellent.
So I'm happy that worked out. But yeah, this Czech team's, you know, very strong again this year. The Czech hockey junior programs, as in general, are just improving. You see that with goaltender Michael Hrabal, 6'6". And I got to also mention the Coyotes have like the biggest prospects on the planet. They got a couple 6'6", couple 6'7", couple like
monsters.
Whatever it is, like it feels like the average prospect height for that team is 6'5". And it just like there's a couple 5'7", 5'8" guys, but that's a story for a different day. But they've got a really good goalie. Michael Hrabal has struggled internationally from time to time, but he is one of the top goalie prospects, 6'6". I feel like this year from watching him in college, he's figured out how to use his size a bit better. He was getting beat down low a lot in other tournaments, especially at the U18 level. I feel like that's maybe not as big of an issue. They have Jiří Kulik, who is one of the best players in the AHL this year. It's ridiculous how good he's been, actually. Edward Sala, I believe he's playing with the Barry Colts this year. He was kind of this big Czech player that was coming through with a lot of talent. So I think this team's got some good skill. Good defense too. They're physical. They're tough to play against. Not a ton of big guys, but they'll shut you down. So this is a good Czech team. Not as good as last year, I'd say, but it's the players that were important last year are back and probably better than they were. So the Czechs are going to be a contender. No question about it.
Hey, all I know is you better not underestimate either of these two teams or you might be in for a bit of a shocker. You just never know, right?
Oh, when you look at the Slovakian team, it's like they got Adam Gayon again. You remember watching him last year in net for Slovakia, just unbelievable. And no Simon Nemec, and likely no Slefkovský, but you got Filip Mešár, who's playing really good. You've got Dalibor Dvorský, who since coming to the OHL has been one of the most dominant major junior players. You got Adam Sikora, who likes to hit everybody he could possibly find in front of him. So this is Slovakia, Czechia, those are teams that are going to be much more difficult to play against than we're used to.
The other two teams that, you know, are a bit of wild cards in this tournament are Germany and Switzerland. And, you know, they're the type of teams that I would always be nervous going into a game against simply because, well, we know the Germans have been producing great talent recently. And Switzerland, they always just seem to be a hard out for everybody in this tournament. And in any tournament that they play in, they always seem to rise to the occasion. They may not be favorites to get a medal or anything else, but they may surprise here or there during the tournament as well.
Switzerland in particular could. I think this is going to be a bit of a down year for them. But I think next year, where there a lot of their 06 players are coming up, that's a good group where they went and played in the under 17 Five Nations tournament last year and beat the United States. So that's an impressive group they've got there. The one thing for them is this is a group kind of like Finland that's going to probably have to grind you to death. They don't have the goaltending. Ewan Hewitt is their top goalie. You might remember his dad, Cristobal, played many years in the NHL. The one player I'm keeping an eye on there is Daniil Ustinkov, who is a Russian-born player playing for Switzerland. And some of his teammates call him Stinky, yes.
I was just going to go there.
Okay. It's funny. But he's a guy that he continues to play well above his weight class. He's kind of got a similar playing style to what we saw from David Reinbacher last year. When it comes to the Germans, I unfortunately have no hope for this group. This is one of the groups I think they'll probably be playing in the relegation round. Oh. They've got a decent goalie in Simon Wolf. They've got a couple of NHL prospects in Julian Lutz and Kevin Bicker, but it really kind of falls short after that. I think the issue with the Germans is a lot of these guys play domestically, right, and they don't get a lot of ice time. Yep. And they come to a tournament like this, where it was like last year, one of the top scoring prospects they had not scored a goal at any point before the World Juniors. It's like, it's a difficult one for this team. The U18 team had a rough go. I'm not really expecting much.
I'm going to say three words here, and I think they all kind of come together, and that is Latvia, Norway, relegation. Is that fair to kind of throw that? Nope. No? You don't think so?
I think they will. It's not a given, but this Latvian team, I know a lot of people there are confident in this group. This is probably one of the better Latvian teams.
They have
an 08 born prospect who didn't make this team, who might be the best Latvian forward we've ever seen. So they're coming up. Norway, though, is bringing a large chunk of their team from last year when they won the Division 1A tournament. And that's not a given every year.
Right.
We'll get these guys who will win with a bunch of 19-year-olds and they'll age out and they'll bring a young team and they get swamped. Norway doesn't have that. They are a small team. I don't know what it is with Norway, but every time they enter any tournament, they have a lot of really short players. But they have one of the better prospects in this tournament in Michael Brandzæg Nygaard, who's playing in Sweden, looking really good, has really carried this team in international competition. So it's a good group. I actually think that this could be one that could steal a game. So we'll see what happens.
Well, I love the fact you're saying that, because it just means that the tournament is going to be even better.
The bottom of this tournament continues to impress me every year now. Look at that the summer tournament where Latvia comes out and they're replacing Russia and, well, technically replacing Belarus, who was also couldn't play in the tournament, and they go out there and beat the Czechs. I think the bottom feeders are getting better than we've seen.
And that's what we want. We don't want a situation where there's three top teams and then everybody else. You know what I mean?
It's way more fun this way.
It's great that the level of talent throughout these countries is getting higher and higher, and they're producing better and better players. A couple of last things. If you had to guess, who are two or three of the big stars in this tournament that we're going to be talking about when it's done?
Well, I'm going to go with Cutter Gauthier on the United States. No question about it. He'll be playing for the Philadelphia Flyers at the end of this season after his second year of college. A guy that can take over. He's got some size. He could play a bit of a power forward game, but he's got the skill to make that work. Then you're looking at Macklin Celebrini. Obviously, what we're seeing out of him, just a guy that we're probably not going to see. I don't know next year what we're going to see in terms of Canada's top prospects, but this year I think he's just going to take over. He'll be the number one center likely for this team. So I'm liking what I'm seeing there, and I'm going to go I want to keep a team that's not one of those two. Let's go with Sweden, and let's go with Jonathan Lekkerimäki, Vancouver Canucks prospect. Had a bit of a difficult tournament last year, was very good at the U18s 2 years ago, but ever since the last World Junior tournament, he's been one of the more impressive prospects in hockey. So we'll see if he can kind of keep that going. I know a lot of scouts can't seem to trust how he plays. He's kind of hit or miss, but I'm kind of banking with the home ice that he's going to be a hit and kind of come together, a game changer.
Before we go, let's pick our medal favorites here. Who do you like? Let's take a look at who's going to win the gold medal right off the top.
United States, and I can't find a reason to not pick the United States.
And I tend to concur with that, Paul. I think,
Are
you going to be the homer here?
No, they look to be the strongest team.
Yeah.
I'm just interested to see, like I mentioned before, them blowing through a group and then having those tough games, if they're going to be able to change the way they play and rise to the occasion. And who do you have getting the Silver and bronze.
Silver, I'm going to go with Canada. I just think because the preparation for this tournament is a bit more rugged than we've seen in past years for Canada, which I think will give them an advantage.
Okay.
And then I'm picking Sweden, the hosts. I never could trust this group ever. As much as I was giving them credit earlier, my thought was going to be Sweden, but the more I think about it, I don't love their goaltending options. As it's decent depth there, but all three are pretty equal, but I just don't know. I don't know if I love this group as much as I originally thought, and I can't ever trust them.
Okay, one last one, Stephen. One team that may surprise and be in the final four that we're not expecting.
Slovakia.
Okay, really?
I think the Slovaks are going to – last year, my big bold prediction was the Czechs. I got to go with the Slovaks this time. I just think that even without some of their star guys, this is still just a better – the bottom of Slovakia is better than we've seen. We've seen some bad, bad Slovakian years. This doesn't feel like one of them. But they also have a strength of three pretty solid goalies. It's not one goalie and you pray you don't get swamped the next game.
Yeah.
It's three goalies that actually can make some noise here.
Hey, before we let you go, you're always a great read. I love catching up with your stuff on Twitter or X. How can people track you down? How can they read everything you got to put out there during the World Juniors?
I'll be doing it'll be at SLS Hockey. I have this little fun thing on during the World Juniors where a couple years ago I was posting video clips and they're getting copyright striked.
Yeah.
So I started drawing the goals. So when a guy scores a goal, I do a stick figure drawing of it. So that's become kind of a fun thing where even some of the national teams and NHL teams kind of get on in it.
Yeah.
So I'll be doing that again. And then, my work at dailyfaceoff.com. It's World Junior features every single game, and I will have deep analysis of every single game of the tournament within minutes of the game being over. So lots of coverage this year.
Tell everybody what Puck Poolies is all about, too. Got to do that.
Puck Poolies, it's our fantasy hockey podcast with myself and Matt Larkin. We have some fun guests. We've got Michael Bublé coming up in a couple of weeks to talk hockey. And it's funny. You know, the one thing I learned about him, he's a huge Spider-Man fan.
Oh.
And as someone who likes Spider-Man, very good time to talk to him about that. But there was a story he told about one time making a trade right after finishing a song, on a concert. I believe he was in Toronto. And he made a trade with somebody in his fantasy league just as he was finishing a song. And because he needed to do it before one of the games started that night. So he's a big fantasy dude.
Wow. Hey, thanks for your time. Enjoy the tournament, okay?
Yeah, you too.
Okay, so there you go. He selected, as I did. Who did you pick for the gold?
Well, the Americans.
We're pretty all the same there.
Yeah, they're a very strong team, top to bottom. I think everybody's looking at that team as the favorite going into the tournament.
Where do you have Team Canada finishing?
Well, I'm hoping they're in the final against the States. And then once you get in the final in a one-game event, you get a hot goaltender, anything can happen. That's what I'm hoping.
Okay, so you think they're going to finish second then? Am I putting words in your mouth?
Well, I think they're going to be in the final and hopefully finish first.
Okay,
but you picked America already. It's going
to
be tough.
Okay, so you got them finishing second. I have us finishing third.
Really?
I think Sweden is going to surprise here. I think that they would be the guys that I would watch carefully. We've watched them surge early and fade horribly.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling that this time around, the crowd is going to push them to the next level. I think it's going to be close, but I have us finishing third.
Sorry. I've been to three World Juniors with big groups.
Yeah.
Finland is the team that always scares me because they can come up with one performance where they just shut you down.
Yeah, I know.
And they get that goal or that second goal, and you're just trying everything to score, and they just find a way. That sisu, they call it, that inner strength.
Yes. The other thing, too, if Sweden were to end up playing Finland down the stretch, that's kind of a toss-up game because that's a really we saw the Czech Republic back in 2020 taking on Russia in that very first matchup. They hate each other.
Yep.
They just hate each other. It was, and the Czech Republic actually won that game, did they not?
I believe they did.
Yep. I remember the place hopping.
And then you know what happened to Canada against Russia the next game.
Yeah, so the early going, don't get too down on yourself if you stumble coming out of the gate. It's not how you start at this event, it's how you finish. But when you start badly, you got to pick it up real quick.
Oh, yeah, it's one game playoffs. There's no margin for error, that's for sure.
Okay, so there you go. There's our top three. There's Steven's top three. I'm sure you you might even be listening to this on the plane heading over. This might be your in-flight entertainment. Any way you slice it, our next podcast is coming to you from Stockholm, Sweden. And then we bus over to Gothenburg, and we're all ready to go. And I just can't believe that we're here. It just seems like it was only yesterday we were doing this in July.
Or at our launch party last November to kick off the tour. And now we're just, it's becoming a reality for everybody. And I just can't wait to have everybody there safely and enjoying the tournament day by day.
We'll do the next podcast over a fika. Is that possible?
Yes.
Did I get it right?
That's right.
How do I say thank you, by the way? Do you know how to say thank you in Swedish? I guess I'll get, you know what? That's what I'm going to learn on the plane. I'm going to learn please and thank you. Always important.
Well, on the website, I'm going to put up a few little phrases in Swedish that we should know.
If you can be trusted. Like, who knows what you're going to put on that site? I could be saying the craziest things to people.
Well, I'm not going to do that, Brandon. I want everybody to have fun over there. I want them to know a few simple words to say thank you, hello, and everything else in Swedish. So we'll have that up here pretty soon.
We'll see everybody in Sweden. And that's it. Have yourself a great day.
Awesome.